Okay, how did science inform the MLPA process and MPA design? What was the role of science in coming up with the maps we see on the wall?
Okay, I was going to answer something else. Let me just say that, and probably Meg covered a lot of this when she talked about the Act, and I'm sorry I wasn't here to hear your insights, but before the Marine Life Protection Act was passed, California had 104 marine protected areas. Most scientists would say none of them were doing anything for conservation at all. Marine protected areas are thousands of years old. Most of those old ones were private hunting grounds in around the world. And so the Marine Life Protection Act basically said, we're going to infuse science into the process of conservation in California with respect to marine protected areas by identifying a variety of variables that are important and are objective. And so some of those things are protecting representative species along our coastline, having enough species, a diversity of species protected, having areas that are large enough so that they encompass it, and enough individuals so that it's a significant protection for an area. And within the directions of the Marine Life Protection Act, it called for the creation of a science advisory team that would help ensure that those scientific principles were adhered to in the development of new marine protected areas in California. And I'll stop there and let you guys add to that by laying the framework for this conversation by saying it's a new concept around the world where you bring in scientific principles and goals and develop marine protected areas in a conservation approach that's an objective approach.
I'll just add quickly, I know many of you, or actually I recognize many of you guys as actually being involved in the Central Coast MLPA process, but in case there, and I imagine Meg has mentioned this earlier as well, but the idea was not to have the scientists actually design the marine protected areas, that was really left up to the stakeholders in the process. What the scientists did was try and bring science to the development of the guidelines for the size and the spacing and the particular locations of the protected areas. And then those guidelines were provided to the stakeholders. The stakeholders generated their proposed marine protected areas, and then we evaluated how well those proposals met those guidelines. And then there was the Blue Ribbon Task Force that was required to sit back and interpret how well they were met and make decisions about which proposals to endorse.
So one of the, in those guidelines, there were a few key questions that everyone wanted some guidelines about for marine protected areas. How big should they be? How far apart should they be? How many of them should there be? And those became really critical rules that the science was meant to provide to the designers, as Mark said. And the way the science advisory team went about trying to come up with rules of thumb about that was to use information from how fish live their lives. A lot of the work that Rick has done about fish home ranges in one kind of habitat, and that was wiped out by an oil spill or a terrible storm that it wouldn't have any. So replication, habitat, size and spacing were what the science advisory team tried to focus on. They gave those as guidelines, not rigid absolute rules, but guidelines to the stakeholder group, and those kinds of maps were the result.